morning.
Good morning.
If you haven't figured it out, this is going to be a little bit different kind of worship service today. If you haven't figured it out, the sanctuary's mighty ugly right now. If you get a chance to go up and peek upstairs, take a look at it. They're painting the ceiling, and so just be careful if you're looking around up there because you can easily stumble. But they got scaffolding set up in the middle, and the one thing I realized after going up there is I'm so grateful that I don't have to paint that because it is so far up there. But the plan is we're going to be here this week. We're going to be here next week. It's a neat opportunity. I think you're going to find here about what we're going to do that's going to be a little bit different than what we normally would do. Okay, it's going to be a lot different than what we normally do during a worship service. But I think it's a neat opportunity for us to be able to do this. And I think the situation of what happened upstairs just has lent itself to be able to do something really cool. I've got a few announcements that I want to make. I'm probably going to forget some here, but I'm going to do my best. The first one, a very successful tenderloin supper last evening. What I have here on results, we had served 289 meals. $1,798 was raised. And I think, if I have this right, somebody help me out here a little bit, but I thought we set a record in the spring for the most number of people and the most amount of money, and this is more than that. So I think that means we set another record last night again. So I think that's very, very, very awesome. Related to that and very important to that is there is in no way this would be possible at all if it wasn't for Tammy and Tom Thornburg. They do so much of the background work about making this happen, and it just flows and it works and people come and they're happy, and that's not without a lot of effort. And those two back there have just kicked it in the fanny again, and y'all need to thank them because this has just been very, very good. That's right. That's exactly right. Tonight, if you care, is Charge Conference. It's an annual thing that we go to. You're more than welcome to go. I know we've got a few people that are going to go. We're going to meet at Pizza Hut at 4:30, and Charge Conference is at Columbia City United Methodist Church, and it starts at 6 o'clock. And so if you want to go to that, that would be awesome. A week from today we volunteered to do a Thanksgiving worship service on a week from today during the night at 6 o'clock. Well, that was before we knew the sanctuary was going to be closed. And so we did what all, you know, problem-solving Methodists will do is we're going to be down here, we're going to eat. So instead of having a traditional worship service in the sanctuary, we're going to worship through eating again. So I just strongly encourage, if you've not been a part of the worship service before with the interchurch or with the fruitful cluster meeting, if you've never done that before, hey, come anyways, because it's going to be here, and you know how we all eat. So I know we're going to have, it's going to be the typical, for sure, turkey dressing, potatoes and gravy. I know that's all going to be here, plus just come and eat. You know, it's just going to be real. And hopefully we'll have some of our friends from the churches that are involved in the inner church as well as fruitful clusters. I think it's just going to be just kind of a neat time. I think it'd be a good time to connect and make some relationships happen between us and our other churches. So plan on that next Sunday at 6 o'clock right here where the food is smelling good. I think, are going to leave it as you don't have to. If you want to bring something to share, that would be great, but don't feel like you have to because we think there's going to be quite a bit. So if you'd like to bring something to share, Jill, how am I doing on this? Is that okay? Yep. If you'd like to bring something, great. Don't feel like you have to. Table service and all that stuff will be provided and we'll be all ready to roll. How'd I do? Good. Okay. Next thing, if you are a regular giver to our worship service, I've got a couple baskets on the high chairs here. There's one here and there's one there. If you give an offering every day and every Sunday and want to do that, they are there. Also, I think there is a card that's being passed around here. Tammy, where are you? There you are. Through the Restore, the manager of the Restore has donated a whole bunch of Christmas decorations to help decorate our front area and the sanctuary. And this is a thank you from the church for that donation. So it'd be great for you guys to sign that card, because we're gonna light it up, I think, this Christmas. There's gonna be a lot of decorations up there. I'm looking forward to that. Oh, we did. All right. Now, so I've been pushing this for about 6 months. You know, Tammy goes and asks one time, and okay, I'm going to use that. It'll be good. So let's start our worship service today with prayer. So bow with me, would you please? Father God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this family that can come together, that could adapt. We're so used to meeting at the same place, same time every week. But the place and the time really doesn't matter, because we know you're here wherever we are. And we are grateful. We're grateful for this opportunity that you've given us today to be able to come and maybe worship a little bit differently. Maybe worship a little bit through our thinking, and worship a little bit through our speaking, and worship a little bit about listening specifically for what it is you would have us to do as individuals in your church, and also corporately as your church. And so through this, please accept what we are doing here as worshiping you and praising you and loving you in maybe a little different way than what we typically would do from week to week. Lord, I thank you too for Larry's testimony, this reminder of what advantage we have here in this country. And it by no means is free. It comes with heavy cost for so many people and so many lives and terrible things that have happened because of what has been given through our veterans. And we are not ever grateful enough for the sacrifice that has been made for our country. And similarly, then this freedom that we have in a big picture of the ultimate freedom that we have given to us through your Son and the sacrifice that he made for us. And keep us mindful of that as well, that we never forget the sacrifices made by humans for our freedom and by your Son for our ultimate freedom as well. Lord, we give you the rest of this time for your glory and your honor. In your name, amen. So yeah, I think we have this kind of a unique opportunity today and next week and the next maybe several weeks and months to begin to think a little bit about our church and where we are at and what it is that we, and you know, I was reminded last night, as I am so many times when I get to hang out with us, there is a goodness. There's a goodness that is here. You know, when you come to a Tenderloin supper and you see what's happening, it's right. It's a simple thing that is just good, and it's right, and it's so good to be a part of that. It's good to be associated with this community where goodness is just so prevalent. And I think too, we can forget about how good it is that we really have it here, because you know, we get to be around so many things that are good, and we don't have so many of the negative things that affect our world so much. And you know, don't take this the wrong way, but you know, when I say that there's this goodness here, it's not you that are good. You know, we know that none of us are good. That goodness that comes out is Christ living through us. And the love that happens at a Tenderloin supper, or back in the woods working on splitting wood, or doing work around the church, that goodness that we sense in this community, in this family, it's Christ. And it is Him that is changing us into these people that are people of love. And that's this goodness that we have around us, and that it is that we want to celebrate, that we need to name that. It isn't that we're a bunch of good people. We're not. you know, start with me. I'm not. We are not, but we are only good because of what Christ is doing in our lives. So yeah, it's just so awesome that we are part of this goodness that contrasts, you know, so much of the negative that Larry talked about in regards of war. You know, I'm never short of material when I want to make this next point, because all I have to do is click on Fox News or CNN News, and I can start listing the things that are just contrary to this goodness thing that we get to experience. You know, 1 week ago today, in a church not a whole lot unlike Pleasant Chapel in Texas, need I say more? Totally opposite of goodness, terrible evil that took the lives of so many people in a small church in Texas. And then, you know, and then I go to CNN and I go down through the list of people's names. If I have to hear the word groping one more time, you know what, I'm not going to say a whole lot more about that either, but, you know, it's star after star after star that this is the, you know, it's this thing. My point is, it's this thing that is away from the goodness that we experience because of Christ's love in our lives. And how do we resolve that tension? How do we resolve this when we are in a community that thrives in the goodness of Christ and also in a world that has something that's so contrary to that? That's a big question. And we won't answer that one today fully. But how is that? And you know, the one thing I know for sure is government can't fix it. Our schools are not going to fix those big issues. No amount of money is going to fix it. No humanistic kind of endeavor is ever going to fix this. It's a heart thing. It's a God thing. And that is where it is going to be fixed, is right here among people. And I think that is, you know, to me, I think that God is, he's on a mission. He's on this mission of fixing. And it's his purpose to bring us back into this right relationship, into this goodness. He wants, in the worst way, for Texas Baptist Church to be healed, including the shooter. You know, there's this idea of forgiveness and love that God has well beyond mine ability there, but it is in his heart, in his mind there as well. And in Hollywood, all of those people that are listed there with these problems, it's on God's heart to bring those people back into relationship and into this goodness that we so often get to experience. And in Washington, and in Syria, and in North Korea, and in Huntington County, and in this township, and in this community as well, it is God's business, and it's his mission, I think, that he wants to be brought back into the goodness that we often get to share. And, you know, you've heard me say this. I've said this over and over again, I think, in sermons, that, you know, I'm not going to start blaming the media, and I'm not going to start blaming the government, I'm not going to start blaming the schools for these changes to take place. You know who needs to be blamed? It's us. This is where the work needs to get done. This is where and how it's going to happen. And so I think this nutshell, he's already at work, and I think we need to learn to listen to him, to trust him, and I think we are to go. We're to go, and we are to make followers or to make disciples. You know, I think we've been given our marching orders, and it comes from the book of Matthew and chapter 28. I'll read it to you here. Here's a scripture for the day that we want on our hearts for a long time. And it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" There are our orders. You know, I've said this before, that I don't think it's any other agency or any other institution to make changes in this world but ours. And we've been given those instructions to do that. He's saying, go and make disciples. Well, how do we do that? Well, I will tell you that I do not have the answers to that, but I have a lot of questions, and I'm going to start with these questions, and this is kind of what we're going to be doing the next few weeks here, is a conversation. What is our church all about, and what is it that we should be doing there? So back, I should have put these in both places there, but I got big colored pictures back there if you can't read them out loud here. But here are some of these fundamental questions I want us to be thinking about here. You know, God is already on a mission. He is on a mission to redeem His people. That mission started way back in Eden, thousands of years ago. He's already on that mission. What is He doing? What is He doing here? We want to find that out. What is God doing in Roanoke, in Pleasant Chapel United Methodist Church here? What is he doing? And how is it that we can join Him in that? Those two questions are important because I think you'd make the mistake to say, what is it we should do? And you come up with our own man-made kind of plans. Well, that man-made kind of plans are going to be man-made kind of results. It's better to think about, let's get to the God-sized thing here. What is He already doing? And that's tricky to do. We need to have our ear to the road, and we need to be, you know, looking to see where He's working, and then join in. Join in what He's already doing. That's going to take some time to kind of figure that out. What is God doing? What is He calling us specifically to do in this church and in this community and me individually? And how are we going? You know, I tried to emphasize that word in the Great Commission there. You know, Jesus says, go to all those nations. Go. We used to kind of think a lot about, let's get people to come to church. Not a bad idea. You know, that's sure, we want people to come and we connect and we want them to grow. But that first word is go. You know, we are to go. How is it that we should be going, and where is it we should be going to connect with people and help them connect with God? And then making disciples. How are we making disciples? And I'll throw that out to you in two different ways. How am I a disciple? Now that's different than a decision that I made. And I think that's sometimes we think what church is. Let's hurry up and get people in there and make a decision up at the altar and we're done. No, He didn't say go make a decision. He didn't say go make people to make a decision. He said go make disciples. And you're never there. You know, you're a disciple. That is this ongoing thing. The word literally translated means learner, one who learns, one who follows. That's what we're to make. We're to make these people that constantly want to learn about God. They constantly want to learn about how Christ is in my own life. They constantly want to learn about what it means to be a son of God. So that's my question. What kind of disciple am I? Am I a disciple? How are we making disciples? And then the follow-up, how are we making more disciples? We are to do that. We're to go out and make more. And again, that goes with the go part. How are we going about bringing more people to Christ and allowing them to become disciples as well? The kind of pink one there says, who can we reach for Christ? And, you know, this will be unique. You know, we are not an inner-city Fort Wayne church. So who we reach, who our market is probably going to be different in rural Roanoke than it would be in inner city Fort Wayne or in Southern California or wherever. You know, there's going to be different. So who is it that we can reach? Who's kind of here that could be a market kind of people that we can touch and can talk to? And then the last one there we're going to focus on today is, well, what can I do? What can I do? Well, we are a body. We talked about this last week. This is why it just falls in so neatly with what we've been talking about in regards to faith and hope and love. We talked about that for several weeks. Then we talked about these gifts that we have. And we're one body here to do God's work. But we are individual members that have talents and gifts and abilities and different passions to be able to do different things. What is it I can do? And, you know, if I just point blank go around and ask you, what is it you could do? Most of us would say, you know, I just don't know. Well, it just doesn't fall in your lap. I think we need to think about that a little bit. What is it that I have that can be used by the church? And so, gosh, what if we had some answers to those questions? Not God, I promise you, it's not going to happen. But down the road, what if the answers to those questions became a little more clear? What if we knew more clearly God's mission for this community? What if What if we said we knew that with some more clarity? What if we knew around us some of the needs that just aren't being met? And I'm not talking just spiritual needs, but physical needs. Are there people around us that are hungry or they're hurting? Or there's just needs that aren't being met that we can go and be Christ's love to them. What if we had a clear idea of that? What if we kind of knew how we could reach more people within a couple miles of here? And what if I knew what I could be doing individually? What if I understood a little bit more about what it is that I have that could be used for His kingdom? Wouldn't that be nice to be able to know that we could fit into that? So that's what I want to do here. I want to begin this conversation a little bit to come up with some answers to those questions. And here's one thing that I believe in my heart is true. I just don't think we can wish this happens. I said this last week, I think. I just don't think we can just hope that people are going to come into our church and get connected with God and become these disciples that we're supposed to do. That's nice, but I think we need to be more deliberate about what it is that we're doing. There's just so many more options for people to do on Sunday mornings, or there just are. And we need to think a little bit more intentionally and deliberately about this and this call to go and make disciples. Now, I want to listen to me on this one. I want to throw this out because I might be freaking some people out here a little bit, you know. And I don't at all want to do that because I don't want you to think at all that I'm still kind of the new guy, and the new guy comes in here and he thinks everything Pleasant Chapel's done is so lame and stupid. We got to wipe it all off the board and start all over again. You know, complete opposite of that, totally opposite of that. Because what I see here, what I've come to know in the last year and a half, is what awesome greatness there is in this local church and what potential there really is. There are some things going on here, especially for you guys that have been around a long time. You don't know it because this is all you know. But, you know, I've had the opportunity to be parts of a lot of churches, and there are some things going on here that are just so good. The question is, how do we augment that? How do we make that even better? And how is it that we can take this next step to become and to grow and to improve? That's what it's about. So don't think I'm coming in here to say, everything we're doing is dumb. No, not at all. I think what we have going on here is very good. And the other thing I want to talk to about, too, is change. You might be thinking, well, we're going to come in and we're just going to change everything that we've ever done. No. I am about change. I am about changing, but it's changing this. What is it we can do to change our hearts, you know, to become more like Christ? And how is it we can change the hearts of these people that are around us? Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to change hearts in this mission that has already been established by God. So these are these questions, and I think I so look forward to these conversations that we're going to have today and next week. It's a great opportunity. You can't do this in a church that's got 300 people in it. You know, how would you sit out? You just couldn't. We couldn't do it like we can here. We're a small body of people, and so we can come down and we can take input from everybody. You can't typically do this in a church. So I'm just jacked about being able to do that. So today's a little bit more of a, it's going to be a little bit more of a rigorous day because there's just there's some paperwork that you're going to figure out because we're going to work on the green thing. What is it that I can do? We'll talk about that in just a minute. Next week, going to be a little bit more of probably some table talk amongst ourselves to find out, well, what is it that we already are doing as a church, and how does that fit into the big picture? And so, be a little more conversation and interaction next week. Today's going to be you're going to feel a little bit like you're in school again after the day. But when you're all done with it, you're going to have that. Remember that last day of exam. It's like, oh man, it felt good. You're going to have a little bit of that. But I'll tell you, I think even more than that, I've talked with several people here. There's a lot of people that have never done what we're doing today. I think you'll walk away with, you're going to have some aha moments. Because we want to look a little bit about you individually. And we're going to look at, we want to find out some of the characteristics that you have. And hopefully when you walk away, you'll say, gosh, I never really knew that about myself. I didn't know that I had that quality. Or I thought I was going to have this quality and it didn't show up. the goal then is when we start looking at things we could do within this church, we can now take the results that we're going to have from what we have today and say, hey, you know what? We've got so-and-so is a perfect person for this because they want to do this and they have these gifts and they have this experience and it's just a wonderful fit on how it might reach some of these people. Kind of make sense? Who's freaked out? Anybody? Jenny is, Brett is. All right. Hang in there. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Let's take a look at what we're going to do today. I want to kind of just walk you through a little bit about what this is. This will be... Oh, Carl, you get some more here. Oh, no, we're putting you to work right away. That's good. Okay, everybody got one? Okay. Take a look. It's on page one. Just to kind of tell you, what I did what every good pastor would do is I stole this. It's okay if you're a steal, if you're using it for kingdom things. Now, this actually comes from, if you've ever heard of Saddleback Church, which is in California. It's Rick Warren. Anybody heard of Rick Warren? He, Purpose-Driven Life or Church or something was a book that was real popular 10 or 15 years ago. This is something he came up with. I've been through several of the types of these assessments. I kind of like this one because it's pretty broad. And here's, at the end of this, this is what we're looking at. He calls it SHAPE. He's got this acronym, S-H-A-P-E. Y'all see where I'm at there. So we're going to look at these five things. What are your spiritual gifts? If you were here last week, we talked about that. And what a spiritual gift is if you have received Christ, the Bible tells us that God will gift you with some things that you can use for His church. Things like teaching, things like helping, things like comforting, things like speaking for Him. We talked about that last week. Those are what your spiritual gifts are. And that's one aspect. The next thing, your heart. You know, let's not overkill this. Your heart. What people do you want to touch? You know, who do you want to affect? What kind of things am I interested in? What is your passion? That's your heart, because that ought to play into how you can be used in the kingdom. What abilities do you have? That's the A. What kind of skills have you acquired through your life here that could be used for kingdom kinds of things? What's your personality like? How would that fit into something that this church could possibly use? And I think a biggie, experiences. What experiences have you had? These don't have to all be good ones. You know, I have experiences that affected me that are very negative. But you know what? If I have gone through something terrible, that probably could be used by somebody else who's going through something similar. You may have very good experiences, some great mountaintop things you've gone through that you would perhaps want to record there as well, because those shape you. You see where this word comes from, that you're going to be shaped into His likeness. So that's what this assessment's going to do. We're going to find out about you individually in those five areas: spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. Okay? All right, before you start, flip back to the very back. You should have a yellow one. Clear in the back. This one keep out to the side, because as you complete each one of these things, you're going to summarize it on this sheet. I am going to collect this one. You can keep everything else, so you'll know your results based on everything but the yellow one. But I want the yellow one so that I can summarize, hey, this is what we have individually. This is what our church has. Now, two things that go along with this. One, serious one. You may put some things on here that are very personal and confidential, and that will stay that way. And if you want to note that, especially that you don't want to share, that's fine. If it's something private, it will be confidential, because when we talk about bad experiences or good experiences, it may be something that you don't want broadcast to everybody. So, you know, that's going to stay confidential. The second one, a little more lighthearted, is this. Don't think that if we fill this thing out, we're going to jam you in something that you don't want to do. You know, that's not part of this. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to make you do something here because you said you're going to do it right here. No. You know, your heart has to be in it as well, and that's one of the things that show up here. It is coming time for nominations. You know, we're looking for people to serve on committees. We're going to use this to help us with that as well. But again, it's going to be an option. Okay, we're not going to make you do it. Not going to make you do it. Shouldn't have said that one. Strike that one. These people think the worst of me. Okay. So I'm going to collect that one there. All of those sections are pretty much straightforward. The one that's going to take you the time is the first one, and it's spiritual gifts. Take a look at page 2, just so you see how this works. And while you're doing that, pull out the one that's kind of salmon-y looking like this, too. The first one here is the spiritual gifts, and this one's going to take you some time to get through. It's just the nature of how this is set up. The other four go very, very quickly, and they're very straightforward. But how this works is this way. If I look at page number 2 under spiritual gift assessment, the first question says, I like to organize people, tasks, and events. Now, the first thing you want to think about here is don't overthink this. When you read that sentence, just immediately ask yourself, is this something that is very true about me, very consistent? That'd be a 3. If it's not true at all, it's a 0. If it's most of the time, it's 2. If it's kind of true, it's 1. Here's the scoring system there. Don't overthink it. But then you put that number on the salmon sheet next to number 1. So if that's a 3 for me, I write a 3 next to the number 1. Everybody seeing that? Okay. Now, the bad thing about this, there's 119 of those to do, so don't spend a whole bunch of time on those. This is about your initial feeling, your initial assessment of yourself. Rate yourself and go on. Just rate yourself and go on, Brent.
This
is going to be turned in today. I did it. Now, the good news is, it took me about 20 to 25 minutes to do this. So it doesn't take a horrible amount of time. The even better news is we've got pie to eat along while you're doing this. So we got refreshments for you. All right. So there you've got, hopefully when you're done, you'll have all of the yellow sheet filled out. But to do the first thing on the yellow sheet, you got to get the salmon one filled out. So have at it and enjoy yourselves. Man, I miss teaching. What? Yeah, what do you want? Yeah, I can do that. I already got mine done, so I can serve pie.